Coming up next on Daddy on Board 83, autism is in the news, schools ban BFFs and waivers for birthday parties, all that and more right around the corner on The Dob. Our show sponsor is Gazelle.com. Want to give you money for your used smartphone, tablet device, or other consumer electronic good. So if you're looking for fast payment, fair prices, and free shipping to unload your gadget or doohickey, you need to go over and see our great show sponsors at Gazelle.com. They're the industry leaders when it comes to radar detection, and they're our show sponsors, Cobra Electronics. Find out more about their entire line of detectors, GPS navigation, CB radios, and a whole lot more when you visit their website, Cobra.com. Hello, parents, new and expectant, weary and hesitant. Welcome to The Dob. That's Daddy on Board 83. My name is Mike Quackenbush. I am a parent, podcaster, and professional wrestler. As a wrist injury currently has me sidelined, I thought I'd sit around and collect all the best stories from the parent-o-sphere and also round up the best of the blogosphere for you, along with a batch of your little victories and some other good stuff, and serve it up to you this week on the podcast. Out in front, two stories this week that were in the news relating to autism. The New York Times reported this week independent studies have, for the very first time, identified several gene mutations that they agree sharply increase the chances that a child will develop autism. They have found further evidence that the risk increases with the age of the parents, particularly in fathers over age 35. Now, this new research was reported in three independent papers in the journal Nature. There are probably hundreds, perhaps more than 1,000 different gene variations that could disrupt brain development enough to result in social delays. This breakthrough from these papers and studies will begin to help clarify the underlying genetics of autism spectrum disorders. An intensified search for rare mutations could turn up enough of these to account for 15% to 20% of all autism cases, some experts say, and allow researchers a chance to start to see patterns and some possible mechanisms to explain what's going on. Now, obviously, I'm not an expert on autism. I am at paraphrasing New York Times articles, though. However, soon to arrive here on the Grizzly Productions Network is a brand new podcast that we've been working on for quite some time, and I'm pleased to tell you that On the Spectrum, The Autism Show, a podcast that will specifically deal with autism spectrum disorders, is in the pipeline and coming your way in the not-too-distant future. But since we're not ready to roll that one out just yet for you, I've got one more story about autism that I'm going to tell you about before the arrival of the experts. A new study that was released by the United States government that looked at the prevalence of autism. Of course, they're talking about developmental disorders that usually appear in the first few years of life. These affect brain development and communication skills. They say that these are all on the rise in the United States. Over a two-year period that they studied, and this period, it's relevant to know, is from 2006 through 2008, instances of autism rose from 1 in every 110 children to 1 in every 88. Now, this study also reveals that among U.S. children, boys are 5 times more likely to evince an autism spectrum disorder than are girls. Now, from the Center of Disease Control, which is based out of Atlanta, Georgia, CDC Director Thomas Frieden spoke about this. He says the increase in reported autism cases might be due to improved recognition of the disorder. And certainly, there's been great strides made in general awareness here in the United States about autism. He says, quote, doctors have gotten better at diagnosing the condition. Communities have gotten better at providing services. So at this point, I think there is the possibility that the increase in identification is entirely the result of better detection, end quote. Another story that was out there this past week from Healthland over on Time.com, they asked, at what age do babies stop being irresistible? Well, scientists say that age 4.5 is when a baby stops being irresistible. How exactly did they figure this out? Well, the Journal of Experimental Child Psychology published the findings of a study conducted in both China and Canada that show the size of a child's head and eyes in relation to the size of their nose and mouth hits a tipping point around age 4.5. Jenna Pincott writes, These facial cues make us feel soft and protective, whether or not we're biological relatives, which in evolutionary terms increases the likelihood of a baby's survival. Indeed, studies have found that infants that have tiny eyes, flat foreheads, and square faces, for instance, are less likely to receive attention. I didn't know that, Jenna. Thank you. I would love to know what the amount of money spent on this fascinating study was. But anyway, there you have it. Best parents to revel in those most adorable years, as they are obviously on a very tight schedule. I'll share with you a sad story that CNET broke about a grieving father in a moment here. I've got the best of the blogosphere, your tips that you send in to me for vacationing with your little one, as well as little victories. I've got all that and more just around the corner. I've got a vacation coming up. Maybe you do, or maybe you're planning some other road trip with your family. Well, this is a great time to find out more about the Cobra Eye Radar System. Go over to Cobra, the letter I, radar.com to find out more about the most advanced smart detection system in the world. This thing is going to make you a more alert and safer driver, whether you're traveling with a family or you're traveling by yourself. This incredible system, award-winning, cutting-edge, it is at the forefront of the industry, and it really has been since they rolled it out in 2010. Our friends over at Cobra have just reason to be really proud of the iRadar system, which gives you up-to-date driving hazard information, not just red light camera, not just radar or laser detection type stuff, but all types of driving hazards. And that's because of the amazing Aura driving hazard database that they have at their disposal. It gets updated twice daily, so you're getting only the most current information through that completely customizable dashboard in the free app you put on your smartphone. Find out about this amazing system they put together by watching the free demo video over at CobraIRadar.com and tell them your friends from Grizzly Productions sent you. You'll be glad you checked it out. Alrighty then. Over at CNET, a story that got some play these last 2 weeks was the plight of grieving father Farone Butler, whose story, I must admit, is quite sad. His 14-year-old daughter died of cancer 2 years ago. He'd saved on his phone voicemail messages from her that he replayed often as a way of keeping his daughter's memory alive. And now this is something I can sympathize with, as for months after the loss of my dear friend and fellow wrestler Larry Sweeney, I would call his old cell phone number just to hear his voicemail greeting, as I am not without my own sentimentalities. Mr. Butler's saved voicemails, however, were ultimately deleted by T-Mobile, as when he signed on for a trial of their new voice-to-text service, all his voicemails were inadvertently erased. In his lawsuit, where he seeks to have erased voicemails retrieved and restored to his phone by T-Mobile, Mr. Butler asserts that he was not adequately warned that this deletion would be a result of signing up for the new service. And his lawyer claims that T-Mobile has the ability to do this, but they will not comply for fear that it will start a rash of similar actions where people want deleted information retrieved for them. T-Mobile, on the other hand, says they do not have the ability to retrieve them. And now, this is a sad story any way you slice it. But in this digital age, is anything really long-term? I mean, systems fail, things are lost all the time. Maybe I've been so inconvenienced by giant corporations like T-Mobile so often, I can't even feign surprise over a story like this. Missed installations and unreliable service have become the status quo. Big companies are sluggish in execution, they're slow to respond. And unfortunately, even a heart-wrenching story like this one doesn't guarantee you get a better standard of customer care. This story is as sad as it is distinctly American, I think. I don't believe any of us can be shocked to discover that we are little more than an account number to giant telecommunications companies, even when the results are tragic, like in this example. Even if we don't want to see ourselves as the capitalist pigs that some other countries might like to paint us as, we must admit at least partial responsibility for putting cornmeal in those troughs, people. I want to jump over to the blogosphere. I called this one out. About this one, boy. Now, to be fair here, as I was once a child, biologically speaking, some tests would reveal that I still am. You know, when you're going on a field trip or you're taking part in an athletic league or whatever, parents are often asked to sign waivers, right, or permission slips, release of liability forms. This happens all the time. This is not earth-shattering. It's rare that we give this practice a second thought. But a new trend sees some parents asking others to sign legal waivers before birthday parties and play dates in what would strike me as being an aggressively antisocial move, maybe along the lines of asking for a prenup. In some instances, like, for example, if a moon bounce, you know what I'm talking about, like the bouncy castle thing, if that's been rented for a birthday party, you know, having something signed is a requirement of the rental company, not necessarily of the parents that are hosting the event. But these laws all vary from state to state, as do the durability of such waivers when contested in court. However, some parents are now looking for others to sign away their rights when they have kids over at their house, into their swimming pool, or even into their living rooms. So, the Today Show website recommends you be prepared for how to handle being put on the spot when arriving at a birthday party or social function, since these things often come out of the blue. They recommend, if the party is being hosted at some kind of kids' activity center or gym or whatever, call ahead to find out what their policy is on such things beforehand so that you have no 11th-hour surprises. And in the event that the parents are the ones springing this bureaucratic BS on you and ambush you at the door, be prepared to walk away if you aren't ready to hold them harmless. Have you heard that some schools are moving to ban having a best friend? No, really. In order to spare some kids the trauma of a friendship falling apart, some schools in England are now encouraging kids to play in large groups, rather than foster more one-on-one relationships. This might initially seem like a hopeless or otherwise insipid endeavor, because it's impossible to prevent close friendships from forming, not to mention that dealing with pain and loss is an inevitable part of life that kids will need to learn. However, schools now have a plan in place to break apart clique-like behavior when they see just two or three children playing to the exclusion of others. And my arch-nemesis of the blogosphere, Meredith Carroll, covered this for Stroller Derby, which is a parenting blog that I like to plagiarize, and said that she thinks if this stops even one bully in training, then she is all for it. Well, her reader, Megan, responded to this blog, much like I would, she writes, "Kids already know from a young age that exclusion can be painful. All this does is prevent them from learning necessary social skills and responsibility. The more we manage for them, the more we dumb them down, both intellectually and emotionally." Another reader posted this response to the blog. "Some kids actually are pair bonders and do not play well in large groups and never will. What a grave disservice to them." And of course, referring to this practice in England right now, of trying to ban children from forming best friends. Now, with these comments from her readers, and the 30 more comments just like it posted thereafter, with no one putting forth a convincing argument for this type of social engineering, I wholeheartedly agree. Now, as it relates to, you know, what's going on over there in England and Europe, let me say that I've been to Europe maybe 30 times in the last 20 years, and I love it there. They have great pastries. There's more real culture in most European villages than we have on the whole east coast of the United States. But our friends in Europe do some wacky stuff. They go days without showering. That's what hobos do. I've seen European establishments that ban people from other countries from eating or shopping there. And that's some elitist, separatist crap right there. And now they're manipulating the way children bond with one another. You know who else did that? Mr. Sinister from the X-Men comic books. His name is Mr. Sinister. What does that tell you about his objectives? I hope this practice stays in Europe. Every time I watch an episode of that contemptibly dull cartoon series, Caillou, with my son, which happens pretty much every night at my house, I wonder if we're turning our kids into a nation of wimps. Or worse, if you've seen an episode of Caillou, a nation of whiny brats. The world is not candy-coated or prearranged for our safety or our comfort. And any practice that gives such an expectation to either lazy parents or impressionable children, in my opinion, is downright dangerous. And that's Mike's Rant! And that really was me singing there, if you were curious. Hey, in a minute, we're going to talk about vacationing with your little one, and I'm going to read your little victories. Want to make a little space in your underwear drawer, or maybe you just want to put a little money in your pocket? Maybe you need cash to upgrade to a new model of your favorite gadget or gizmo. Well, when you need fast payment, fair prices, and free shipping for your used consumer electronic good, you better go see my friends over at Gazelle.com. That's Gazelle.com. They've recently streamlined their service, so if you haven't been over to see their website in a little while, you better get over there now. Spend just 60 seconds and find out you get a free offer on all kinds of stuff. Cell phones, smartphones, iPods, iPads, certain types of laptops and desktops, etc. Find out what they're worth. And then you'll go through the very simple process of getting it out the door to them, includes free shipping thanks to our friends over at gazelle.com. And then you get payment. You get a check, you get something in your PayPal, you get an Amazon.com gift card, whatever you choose. They're very trustworthy. I've always had a positive experience anytime I've sold used consumer electronics to our friends at Gazelle, and you will too. So head over right now and show them some support, because this program, which we deliver to you free every week, would not be possible without the support of great sponsors like them. Thanks, Gazelle. Last week here on Daddy on Board, I asked you loyal Dob Bobbers to help me out, and so you did. I have an upcoming vacation to the Walt Disney World Resort in Orlando, Florida, and I asked for your input about vacationing with a toddler, and you responded in kind. So I want to share some of the tips that I got, because as the warmer weather settles in, perhaps a vacation is in your future as well. Ann Eldridge wrote to me, specifically about where I'm going. Do toddlers really appreciate the Magic Kingdom more than the neighborhood park seesaws or the mechanical horse outside of Walmart? It's hard to survey toddlers. Well, Ann, I certainly hope so, because the park seesaws are free, and this vacation we are going on is most definitely not. So here's hoping there's a big difference in the level of appreciation. Trisha Schmitz writes to me, go early, then go to the hotel for lunch, a nap, and a rest during the hot part of the day. Then go back in the evening as late as you can. You can take in snacks and drinks, take a soft-sided cooler full of stuff, and have fun. Mickey is in a building when you first enter the Magic Kingdom. The building is the first on the right. The princesses are there as well. Great way to get some one-on-one time with the head mouse. Thank you for that, Trisha. Thank you. Adam Alma writes as well. He says, we have an annual pass and a three-year-old. Here are my two strategies. Oh, actually, there's four. Pick two or three things that you want to do and do them early, or get fast passes to come back and do them with a shorter wait. Split the day up. Go early, go back to the hotel for a nap, then go back in the evening. I see a pattern recurring here. Take something to keep your son occupied when you're in line. We let our son play with our iPhones while we're in longer lines. Also, keep in mind, nothing is worth the agony of waiting in a line for more than 30 minutes with a toddler. Adam also writes, to those who asked if toddlers appreciate the Magic Kingdom, I can say the answer is yes, they do. I am relieved to read this, Adam. Thank you. Thanks for dropping that off on our Facebook fan page. Raul Cologne wrote to me, great that this question was asked. I've never been to a Disney park as a parent, but we'll save these tips for future use. I think splitting the day is an awesome idea. Now, he went on to ask me if we're going to be staying inside a Disney property or outside. And we decided to stay inside the Greater Disney Complex for this reason. Because they offer free shuttle service to and from the airport, I do not have to rent a car. I can stay entirely within their ingeniously engineered network down there and save on that expense. Now, of course, that does limit the experience I have. For example, if I wanted to go outside of that, like let's say I wanted to go see Universal Studios in Orlando, I'd be stuck, because the system of transit that they have in place, from monorails to shuttles and everything else, doesn't take you to places where Disney's not making money. But for this trip, it seemed like the right choice. Rachel Dorsey wrote to me over on, I think this was on our Facebook fan page too, or maybe over on Google+. You can stay at one of the monorail hotels. It's really nice, because you can leave the park when it gets crowded midday to take a nap and then go back later. My husband thought I was crazy, but I packed milk, cereal, plastic bowls, and some dried fruit for breakfast, so our morning was as low-key as possible. Thank you, Rachel, for that tip. On Twitter, Daddy's in Charge checked in with me and wrote, I always use the left line when given a choice and get a rider pass on every ride that you can. Also, something about nap time that I couldn't make out, Daddy's in Charge. But thanks, nevertheless, for dropping that off. Thank you for all of your input about travel. And I want you to know that if in the extreme near future there goes a week where there isn't a Daddy on Board podcast, I don't want you to think it's because I don't love you. It's because I'm on vacation. Hey, let's wrap this one up with your little victories. These were sent in to us, whether it was on Twitter or our Facebook fan page or even over on Google+. You know, we're over there too. Your friend and mine, Dr. Keith Lipinski, dropped this one off on Twitter. His little victory is, I haven't had to scrub clean poopy underpants in 6 days. And this is a hashtag huge victory. Right you are, Dr. Keith. Thanks for dropping that off. Love seeing your avatar. Mike Zook wrote to me at the Daddy on Board. That's where I am on the Twittersphere. Our daughter started rolling over this week as well as started responding to her name being called. Well, that is a little victory, Mike. And thanks for dropping that off with me here. Always good to hear from you. Last but not least here, Benjamin Christensen dropped this one off. I don't know. This is a big one, too. Our son Andrew took his first steps today. Ben from Appleton, Wisconsin, sent that in to me and even sent me a video of his cute son taking his very first few steps there. And if this were a video show, I would show it, even if it made you uncomfortable. But thanks for sending it in. I really appreciate that. And yeah, way to go. First steps, that's no little stuff. That's big stuff. Hey, you know, you can always join in the conversation on our Facebook fan page. You can tweet me. I'm at the daddy on board. You could also follow me personally if you're so inclined. I'm Mike Quackenbush. There's no underscore or anything like that in it. It's just how you think it's spelled. And even though I won't be doing anything physical for a while as I'm healing up from a bad wrist injury, I will be on the road as ever with the entire Chikara gang, so I'll be seeing you in the weeks to come in Rahway, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Chicago, Illinois, Lafayette, Indiana, Manhattan, New York, and loads of other places as well. I love meeting Dab Bobbers in person, so come out and see me there or anywhere else that I go. And by that, I basically mean the post office or Starbucks. Anyway, great hearing from all of you, and eventually I'll be back, most likely with a program to be entitled Daddy on Board 84. Until then, adios, amigos.